You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. One of the biggest struggles for couples in marriage is communication, but those struggles don't often start in marriage. In today's episode of The Kylo Show, you're going to learn where your communication skills came from and how to give them an upgrade so that you can become a courageous, assertive communicator. It's all coming to you right now in this week's episode.
Welcome to The Kylo Show. We are here for you again. Kylo Show. I don't know what episode we're on, but we're in the high 20s at this point.
We are. I think it's like 28.
Yeah. It's fun. I mean, everybody loves it.
We're clicking along.
I know. It's fun to do, you know, have meetings with people, and then the first part of it's always about how much they love The Kylo Show.
I know.
Which is great because we're coming back every week for you.
Great feedback.
It is. It's fun to... fun to hear. I think they love your powerful truths that you've built, and I like to add the stories that are practical of how I've applied them, so it's fun to share.
We have been talking about this stuff for a very long time.
Very long time.
Yes.
Yep, that's for sure.
Yeah. And we will continue.
We're still.
Because it's so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we're still diving into our singles talk.
Yep.
We've been going through, obviously, the five principles, which, in case you haven't remembered, it's being powerful, choosing love over fear. It is practicing the goal of connection.
Mm-hmm.
We got respectful communication going on,
which is what we're talking about today.
Today, mm-hmm. That is the hot topic. And then obviously honoring healthy boundaries. But we are all about the communication today.
There we go.
Which is crucial.
It is crucial because it's so easy to get old and not know how to do it.
Yeah, just grunting is not communicating.
It's just such a bad habit to not spend some time intentionally learning how to lower anxiety, increase the message that you care, mm-hmm. be respectful while you communicate.
Totally. And, I mean, I wish that in high school they would have made this more of a focused course.
Yeah, I wish that families would make it more... you know,
which is why we're telling you a whole healthy family.
That's it. You know, I think schools just kind of do what they can do, but families is really where this is practiced most.
It's true.
You know, most often.
Mm-hmm. I had a great conversation with our kids just the other day, which they all went crazy at each other, which isn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. But I was just thinking about the skills that they're developing, mm-hmm. you know, right now, and how. Delaney at 16, you know, really pushing her back to friend groups and communication and needs. And it is the practice. So you're still out there practicing. Mm-hmm. So good job. Keep practicing.
Yeah. I think probably the skill that stays weak is courage.
Hmm.
Because it's so courageous to be assertive.
Yeah,
I think it is something that you have to invite. It is something that you have to reinforce, reward. When a child, especially, begins to say things that sound like my needs are important,
mm-hmm.
my feelings are important, my thoughts are valuable, so are yours, and it for whatever reason, I think. And it's probably parenting that trains a child that they have to fight to be valuable. They have to fight to be heard. They have to emerge into the adult world when, you know, it's hard to do. When you're little and you're talking to big people, it's hard to show up like you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if the big people aren't welcoming it. And training that part of you.
Mm-hmm.
So being an assertive communicator has a lot to do with courage and a healthy belief system
mm-hmm.
that says, I'm valuable and so are you. And when we don't learn that, we end up with all this passive-aggressive or aggressive communication. Yeah. And those things, I think, very much are cultivated in families.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time you get to... adolescence or young adult, you're on your way of, I have a communication style, mm-hmm. and a bunch of it's based in self-preservation.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think about, like, you know, you bring that to your work environment and you get labeled as, you know, the pushover, or you get labeled as
the bulldozer.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And so much of that was developed from your childhood and the your experiences there. But I think that, you know, the more you press in, like last time we were talking about this healthy community, mm-hmm. these healthy relationships that get to tell you, like, hey, that's not very nice, mm-hmm. or I need something.
Ouch.
I need something different. You know, mm-hmm. that, you know, being able to have that conversation. I don't know ever if I've had a confrontive conversation that felt, you know, warm and gooey inside going into it. Mm-hmm. It was always a step of courage to, I'm going to display my heart to you.
And next to nobody plans for this to go really great.
Yes.
Everybody's, you know, everybody's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose this friend. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. this is going to go terrible. Oh, I'm going to get hurt. What if I hurt them? Oh my gosh. So it's all the anxiety comes from gearing up for it to go terrible.
Mm-hmm. And I think, again, confrontation, and when we present communication, we are, it's like default to believe the absolute worst and to go in defensively, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know? So if that is your goal, which we always say the goal of communication is to understand and not to agree, which I don't know how many times I have, feel like I have to say that even to myself. Okay, Brittany, you're going to understand.
It's not a winner and a loser here.
You know, but that is, I mean, it needs to be somewhere in your notes on your phone of any conversation that you're going in where there's tension is, okay, I want to understand the need, the heart, mm-hmm. so that I can figure out what I'm going to do next.
And so beliefs is a huge chunk of a successful, assertive conversation. You matter, and so do I, versus the passive saying, I don't matter.
Yeah.
You just what you want matters.
Mm-hmm.
Or the aggressive, which is, you don't matter. Only what matters is what I want.
Yeah.
Or the passive aggressive, which is, oh, you matter, not.
Right.
Yeah, and so the belief structure that you're communicating out of really determines your style.
Which I think this belief structure that we have lately, which maybe it's been around forever, but it feels really loud now, is that your experiences are truth and fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, if my experience was I got hurt by you, it's mm-hmm. you were intentionally trying to do that.
You're a hurtful person.
And yes.
Yes.
So how do you navigate that? Because I think there's almost promoting going on that those are real.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's I get to define truth versus I get to have a perspective or an opinion.
Mm.
So that's, I think we have to just back up the train here and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. What's going on inside of you isn't truth. It's maybe your truth, meaning that it's your experience, it's your perspective, it's your idea, it's your opinion. And that's important to communicate is, here's my experience. I'm scared. I'm hurt. I feel powerless. You know, that's great information.
Yeah.
And we get to cultivate trust as you come out with that, because that's inside of you, the absolute true experience you're having.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get to say, this is what's true about life because it's going on inside of me. That's how we end up with all this crazy confusion that goes on, because I somehow felt a feeling enough times to where it became reality.
Yeah.
Like, wow, you must not be married. Because you don't get to do that in a marriage, because you don't get to control the other person. And the more you try to demand that the other person submit to your truth reality, the more narcissistic you are.
Mm.
You know, the more sociopathic you become. Because I don't really care how my demand affects anyone else. I want what I want, and I want it now. You know, that blueberry girl and Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, totally.
It's a whole song.
I think that's Bianca
from
Golden Goose. Gooses, geeses. Yeah. I mean, that was kind of the theme of the movie, is that I want, and what I and I'm going to take and I'm going to consume and I'm going to make everyone pay in the wake because this is true.
Don't be a Bianca.
Yeah, don't. You know, please don't.
Bad egg.
Yes. But I mean, that's the – I feel like navigating this with my 16-year-old again, I'm trying to help her see that what's going on inside of her is real. That is painful. That is frustrating. That is overwhelming. But it doesn't mean that it's truth to everyone else.
Yeah. No one else has to experience that. Everyone, people who care about you want to appreciate it and see it.
And
empathize with it.
Totally.
But it doesn't. You're not changing the universe with your powerful feelings.
And I think one of the things that happens right there is when this becomes so demobilizing to them being able to participate in other relationships because they just then have a view or a filter of who this person is or what this, organization is, because of a feeling and experience. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important to be able to have like hard conversations where I get to lean in and say, help me understand because what I'm walking away with is this, is that the goal?
Yeah. And so this is where feedback begins to confront what feels so completely real to me. there are very damaging things that I will do to a relationship because I have a lack of feedback. Because this rocket fuel called feelings propels me right into, you are trying to hurt me, you are selfish, you are something, you're a bad guy, basically. You're a bad guy. My emotions have sorted through that I'm a victim and you're a bad guy. And I don't want to hear anything except agreement with my accusation. And you're like, oh, my gosh, this is how you destroy friends. This is how you destroy connection. Is there's one way to experience life, and it's my way. Get on board or you're an enemy. Like, wow, that is so twisted. So when we have relationships that are healthy and whole, the other person says, so this is how you're feeling, and this is what you see, and this is what you're thinking. Right, okay. Well, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm seeing. Here's what I'm feeling. There's two people here. Both of us are powerful. Both of us are valuable. And we see it very different.
Yeah.
And then we begin a dialogue. We begin to search for, I can actually see how you could see it that way. Or I'm going to have to trust you that you see something that I don't see.
Right.
Doing this in a with an audience where you hold up a $5 bill or a $1 bill and you say, okay, this side of the room, what do you see?
Yeah.
And they start describing the front side of a dollar bill, and they see George Washington, and they see ones in the corners, and then you say to the other side, you say, well, what do you see? Like, well, I see a pyramid with an eyeball on top, and eagles with with arrows in their claws, and I said, well, okay, do you see George Washington? No. Do you see a pyramid with a no? Okay, who's crazy? Well, nobody's crazy. We just have completely different perspectives of the same thing. We're both looking at a dollar bill. So feedback is sometimes I'm learning to see because I trust you. And that is how you cultivate a friendship. That's how you cultivate a perspective outside of your own. This is how you leave being so egocentric, and you begin to have some abstract thinking capabilities, which is there's other ways of seeing the world. There's other ways the world works, except the way I want it to.
Yeah, right. I think, the asking feedback in your relationship feels super vulnerable to do, but it also shows a level of maturity and value for growth. So to be able to trust that this person that you've invited into your life is going to do the best job, maybe they're still learning how to do feedback well, but to invite that place of what do you need from me? I think that's one question of feedback. How did you experience me at this event? Because your body language communicated that you were not having any fun. You know, I think those are the moments to press in to practice receiving and even practicing participating, giving like, this is my experience. This is what I'm seeing on this side of the dollar bill. And this is what you're seeing or experiencing. And then having value of a place of, okay, so where do we go from here?
And there's a humility, you know, that I don't see everything. You know, there is actually another side of this dollar bill. And I forgot what's on there, or I never saw it. And now I'm learning, and but I have to acknowledge and I have to respect that I don't see everything. I don't know everything. And as I humble myself, God does give me grace. He gives me grace, and it helps me deal with some of that anxiety of feeling vulnerable when I admit that I don't know everything.
I mean, those questions, what did you hear me say? All those different tools that we have in communication, I think those are beautiful tools to be implementing to any relationship you have in your single world, from, you know, your coworker, your boss, your family, your friend circle. I think really chasing after developing the skill of doing it well so that you keep growing into a healthy person.
It's always to keep communication respectful.
So good. That's right. Okay, singles, that's your task is to go keep developing the skills for communication. But we're going to jump into questions right now.
Awesome.
And we'll see you in just a minute.
For the next few episodes, I'll be talking a lot about our Young Marrieds Workshop. If you haven't heard, we're hosting a Young Marrieds Workshop with Danny and Sherry Silk, along with Ben and Brittany Serple, for couples who've been married 10 years or less. So, if you want to get your marriage started on the right track, or you got off track and you're trying to get back on it, this workshop is for you. So click the link in the show notes or go to Danny and Brittany's social media pages and click the link in the bio now.
All right, so we're going to jump into questions. Again, if you have a question for us, you should tell us about it at thekyloshow.com. We love your questions and testimonies, so don't forget to submit those there. All right, our first one comes from Eli.
Hey, Danny and Brittany. Thank you so much for doing the Kylo Show. Growing up, I was in a family with terrible communication skills, and now with my own family, I'm a little worried that I'm going to reproduce what I know. I was wondering if you had some strategies for me so I don't reproduce the same environment that I grew up in. Thanks.
Yeah, well, it's probably smart to figure out what was the problem in the environment he grew up in. And it was probably control. We communicate to control. We communicate to control through agreement. And so we didn't learn very good listening skills, which is such a valuable piece of communication, is learning how to hear. Learning how to understand. Learning how to learn. And lots of learning happens in communication if you keep your ears open. But if all you can do is keep your mouth open, next to no chance that you're learning anything except how obnoxious you can be.
I think that, you know, identifying what communication style you are and what's the good, the bad, and the ugly in that, you know, and where do you need to improve there. I know for Ben and I, when we learned about DISC, which, you know, D-I-S-C is the, you can just type it in, find it. But, you know, that simple outline helped us just learn how to communicate differently to our different styles, you know. And I think that helped give a lot of breakthrough for us, too. Just in, oh, we need different types of communication to feel heard, to feel safe, to feel, you know, understood. and even conflict within the communication. So I think those, you know, knowing that about yourself, knowing that about your spouse, and kind of getting that information, that's another, you know, those are things that stick out immediately when you ask that question. Like, okay, I was aggressive. Now what came with that? What do I need to do to not let that out of the bag? Because it's terrifying to mm-hmm. everyone and no fun. Mm-hmm. And owning that piece. So.
Yeah, and the style that you mm-hmm. justify.
Yep.
You know, because of the belief system. And so a lot of that is hiding in the DISC stuff, the Enneagram stuff, mm-hmm. the...
We only had discs back then, so it's, you know, true. It's just, you know, a little simpler.
Whatever floats your boat, but you got to figure out really the belief system that you justified being unhealthy, mm-hmm. and what needs are you needing met, and will you courageously set them out there?
Yeah,
and that's a stretch.
Yeah, I think Ben says first one to humble themselves. Or maybe stole from you, I don't know. But first one to humble themselves wins. You know, like mm-hmm. that's always when a shift happened for him and us was really that chasing after humility, which I think is partnered with being courageous is pretty powerful.
And humility can go two ways, right? Because for the D or the I, humility is shut up. Mm-hmm. And for the S and the C, humility is show up.
Yeah,
you know, so it really is going to depend on what belief you're fostering, and the opposite spirit of that is going to help.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yep. Good question, Eli. All right, our next one comes from Kathy.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. Thank you for doing the Kylo Show. I have a question for you in regards to communication and singles. What is some of the best opening questions that can be used to pursue communication in a developing relationship?
I'm assuming that's a romantic relationship.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
We'll lean into that. We'll just call it a romantic pursuit. I think it's probably really good to find out some key foundational things, you know, of, is this worth continuing to pursue? Of are we even going in the same direction? Mm-hmm. You know, and the DTR, defining the relationship stuff that you have, you talk about, you shouldn't meet in the airport when one is going to,
or the airplane.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. know that you're trying to go to, you know, Paris, and this person's going to Australia. Well, you should be on the plane meeting, going in the same direction, rather than the airport and get on the wrong plane. So I think, you know, where are you meeting this person? I think that might reveal some things. You know, what are their interests? I think having fun with someone is important. But I do think that I need to make sure that you and I are going in the same direction. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't know that it's really worth giving a lot of time and energy towards someone that doesn't have your values, doesn't have your kingdom mentality, doesn't have, you know, the desires that you have. I'm sure. I mean, like, I remember Ben, you know, he talked about being a missionary. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll put that out there. We can explore that. I don't know, you know, what that looks like. And it was more of, he just wanted to serve and love people, mm-hmm. you know, but missionaries, what he thought that was until sure. we, you know, started developing and got to partner together in different ways, but I think mm-hmm. headed the right direction, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Yeah. I think questions would be something like, well, tell me about who you are and mm-hmm. and how you are and why you are, and see really the self-awareness of somebody is there's a maturity measurement in there by, you know, how well I know me mm-hmm. and how well I that helps me communicate me, and then it should set me up to realize other people are so different than me that I have a ton to learn. And then I'm hoping that they want to do the same. But long term, I think if you are, and we'll talk about this more in our dating when we get to the dating yeah. segments, but you really need to enjoy each other.
Mm. Friends.
You need to enjoy each other.
Yeah.
If you're having a hard time enjoying each other as friends, this is a terrible idea.
Back away.
I don't care how horny you are. I don't care how idealistic you are. I don't care how optimistic you are. Do not violate, do we enjoy each other?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's a number one thing you should be looking at. Do you enjoy each other as friends? If not, do not move forward two spaces.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Okay. All right. Great question, Kathy. The next one we have comes from Sarah.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. Thank you so much for doing the Kylo Show. I really appreciate it. I have a question for you. I've heard you talk about feedback, and I think I want to start introducing that into my life. What is the best way for me to start cultivating a feedback culture? Thank you.
Brace yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I think feedback is, I love it and I hate it on so many levels because it's hard to swallow when I'm becoming so aware of pain I've caused somebody, or maybe I thought I was being funny and didn't go well, you know. But I love it that they trust me enough to tell me, but now what am I going to do with it?
Especially if it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I did it again, didn't I? Ay.
How did I do that? But I was working on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you've never done it before or just new to introducing this, how does it even start?
Well, it's a commitment, mm-hmm. because the first time you get some powerful feedback that requires, you didn't see it coming. Mm-hmm. Like you think you know. And the person says, yeah, you know, I cannot believe that you don't realize how bad your breath is. I just can't even believe it. You're like, oh my gosh, how long has that been going on? How long have I had a mouth? Well, a very long time. So you're like, oh my, who else didn't tell me about this? Mm-hmm. When you get those kinds of feedbacks, it strikes at your security. You're mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, I feel so insecure all of a sudden. So you're going to have to be ready for feedback because it's going to alter your reality. It's going to introduce things that you did not know were there. Mm. It's kind of like finding out about aliens or something. You're like, what? What? You know, so that's marriage. That's parenting.
It's covenant relationships, though.
It's how you mature. Mm-hmm. But probably the easiest way is to start saying, do you need anything from me? Mm-hmm. Is there anything you need me to adjust? Do you have any feedback for me? How did you experience that? Mm-hmm. You know, if you could make any adjustments, what would you do? You know, what do you need from me? That type of relationship dynamic where you introduce a spot for people to be able to input, where they don't have to crash your door down, they don't have to come with a bazooka and a grenade launcher to have a conversation with you, but you welcome them in. You say, mm-hmm. is there anything that I can adjust to help us?
So what about the opposite, like someone that is wanting to start giving feedback but has been maybe more passive personality or has been more timid? I know we talked about having courage, you know, and mm-hmm. bracing yourself. So how do you welcome both feedback, which I assume in my experience with a lot of those more passive personalities, they're taking feedback probably from a more dominant personality often, mm-hmm. but they may not be giving it mm-hmm. because it's maybe this person's scary or whatnot. But how do you activate the courage to introduce giving feedback to somebody if it's not a common practice for you? Like, where do you start with that?
Permission.
Okay.
Permission is probably the best place to start. Like, mm-hmm. I was wondering if you'd be open to any input.
Question.
You know, could I give you some feedback? I was wondering how you think your wife experienced that thing that you just said.
Yeah.
You know, how do you think your boy's doing after you said what you said at the park yesterday in front of all his friends? You know, there would be a question, and then my friend quickly will show me whether I should have any more questions
or not,
or this isn't going to go well because they don't want feedback or they don't have a problem to mm-hmm. solve. I'm testing to see whether there's an open door or that this is going to go well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I guess goes back to the not working harder on someone else's problem than they're willing to work. So mm-hmm. ask those good questions, and then, you know, mm-hmm. I would imagine the response coming from me like, what do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, you know, I was just thinking if this was me, how I would feel.
Mm-hmm.
If that was my dad, if that was my wife, or if it was me, you know, I just think that that's maybe another way to lead into that.
Yeah, or even say, how do you think you would feel?
Yeah.
If I
approached you that way, or
called you out in front of all your friends
mm-hmm.
and told you that you were terrible at this game that we're all playing, would you feel really safe and loved, or would you feel attacked and humiliated?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care. Well, do you think everybody's like you, or do you think some people are different than you? Because he is a child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was crying. you know, whatever.
Yeah,
and depending on the strength of connection I have with my friend,
depends on how much you pull.
Yeah, it depends on what you're going to get away with.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point too. Is, you know, giving feedback to somebody that you barely know.
Yeah,
is not a very great idea.
Not a great idea.
And I think a lot of people feel that it's their need to be the feedback giver, you know, because they're confident or capable or they have a
social media.
Sure.
Yeah.
That too.
Here's what I think of your post.
Yeah. But I think this is the part where that's the difference between a covenant relationship and not, is that, you know, I want your best and I'm going to move towards you because I trust that this relationship can handle it because I want success for you.
And connection's my goal.
Exactly. And so I think paying attention to, you know, I've been in situations with friends where there's something really hard going on and I have information and I could go and confront them, but I know the level of connection I have and the level of relationship, so I'm not going to,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if I'm really concerned and, you know, whatever's going on, I might lean into someone that I know has a stronger relationship and say, hey, you know, I don't know, there's a struggle here, and because they're aware of it, you know, and if it might be great if you could lean in,
mm-hmm.
but
which is community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why hopefully you're not the only friend this person has.
Yeah, right.
But if they're not open to feedback, you may be the only friend this person has.
And for how long, we don't know.
Yeah.
Depends on how it goes. All right, well, those were great questions. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much again, Sarah, and everyone else that joined in. And we're going to move on to our testimony.
Here we go.
Do you have to be young to attend our Young Marrieds Workshop? Well, we're not sure what young means to you, but we're not talking about your age. We're talking about the age of your marriage. This workshop was specifically designed for couples who have been married 10 years or less. But really, this stuff is great for any marriage. So if you want to get unstuck and grow in connection and intimacy with your spouse, then the Young Marrieds Workshop is where you want to be. You can learn more about it by clicking the link in the show notes or going to Danny and Brittany's social media pages and clicking a link in the bio now.
Okay, so it's our testimony time.
Yay.
And we have a testimony coming in today from Brian.
Hey, Danny. Hey, Brittany. My name is Brian. I want to give you guys a quick testimony of how Kylo has impacted my life. Most importantly, I think that the biggest thing it has done is show me how to be a powerful person in communication and in different aspects of different relationships, professional, personal, and how to maneuver with difficult conversations and confrontations as well. I didn't grow up with any good tool set of how to maneuver through those things. So I came into a relationship and was really struck with, wow, this is how you do good communication. This is how you do good confrontation, defining what the goal is and just making the stress levels, anxiety levels come way down to be able to just show, hey, my goal here is to love and to understand you. Those have been just such valuable things in my life, and it has impacted me greatly. And I know for sure they will impact my kids' lives. And just like you guys say on the show, whole healthy families are going to change the world. And I 100% agree with that. And I can't wait to be able to implement the things that I have learned through reading Keep Your Love On, and also just listening to this podcast and introducing those to friends, family, and my future children. So I thank you guys and keep doing what you guys are doing.
Brian.
It's great.
Yay.
I love it. I think coming, watching people become powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that powerful people just love better. They just love in a way that is, I think, in its design.
Mm-hmm. Well, they love longer.
Yeah.
You know, they love more consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And powerful people chase fear away from the experience with them. So it actually feels like love, mm-hmm, instead of just some sort of dependency.
Yeah, totally.
I love how he's talking about, I grew up in a family that did not practice confrontation or even low anxiety communication, mm-hmm, which is most people.
Yeah.
I mean, if you grew up in a family where they taught you how to communicate well, please go back and kiss those people, you know, whoever that was, just go kiss them. Because it is such a rare experience that people learn to keep their love on while they communicate through disagreement, mm-hmm, or through hurt. And it's an absolute gift. So fun to hear people say, that changed my life, because it will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Respectful communication is going to change your world.
Oh, I mean, I just think of the legacy factor for, you know, I believe whether parents are doing a great job or a poor job, they're trying to do better than what they had.
Mm-hmm.
And until you get different tools, you don't usually change, mm-hmm, it. You know, you might have a good heart or different intentions, but it doesn't change if you don't change your tools. And I think that, you know, that's the difference, is I'm going and searching for new tools that will change the cycles, you know. And I think even Eli's question earlier on was talking about, like, I don't want to repeat this, mm-hmm, you know, but so you have to go get new tools. Mm-hmm. You have to get that upgrade. You have to go and figure out, okay, you know, I think last episode too, we talked to, you know, Asaya is talking about, you know, I didn't know how to do this well. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to go on a journey to find it. Mm-hmm. So it just feels like again and again and again, you're faced with what tools are you going to bring in that are going to change what you were given.
Mm-hmm. And one of those tools is really your belief system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how well did I adjust what was driving me? Because it's so hard to do the right thing with wrong beliefs.
Yeah.
It's so hard to practice truth when you're operating out of lies. So what are you doing to go get the healing, or the maybe it's just repentance, you know, from I don't matter, you do, only I matter, you don't, you know, the passive aggressive, you matter, no you don't,
mm-hmm,
you know, how do you get to I value you, I respect you, I want to understand you, At the same time, I require the same respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a courageous move, you know, mm-hmm. and it really is rooted in a lot of identity and healing.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, I think is how do you go get that? How do you find that? You know, the tools I think of are SOZO, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think of community, whether, you know, we talked about before, the pond, you know, the stream coming in, the pond that you're there with, and then the outflow of it going out, you know, what are you doing in that? How are you developing self-awareness? You know, it's all these different areas of, you know, working on yourself. And I mean, I tell all the single friends I have that I know so desperately want, you know, all these young women I know that are phenomenal, and I, you know, gladly set you up on a date if you're awesome with them. You know, they're great because what I see them doing is working on themselves until they have someone in front of them that is, you know, done the same thing. But I just keep saying, work on yourself. Just keep going, chasing after getting clarity in who you are, confidence in who you are, and, you know, develop these areas that you didn't have developed in your home,
mm-hmm.
so that you have something different to bring in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
We know Brian, and being around him, one of the things that I see him be very successful is he asks lots of questions.
He does ask lots of questions.
He asks very deep, meaningful yes. questions, and then he ponders the answer. And you're almost wondering if he's okay.
Yeah.
Like, did I hurt you? Are you okay? I knocked the wind out of you? What's going on? And then he comes back with another question.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on this learning journey. He is absolutely committed to filling up his toolbox with understanding,
mm-hmm.
because he wants to understand how this tool works.
Yeah.
And it is interesting. Sometimes you walk up to tools, literal tools, and you try to figure out, what is this for?
Yeah.
And it's all twisted and bent. And you're like, oh, well, because on this make and model, the exhaust manifold is shaped like this. You have to have a wrench that goes around this thing, and then you can move it, or tractor implements or farm equipment. It's like, what is that? And if you don't have understanding as to what they're trying to accomplish, you really will never figure out the value of that tool.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I could do the same thing, but with makeup tools, you know, that sponge applicator, I mean, there's
no
with the angle, I mean, there is, and then you want to make sure you have the right angle and brush for blending.
All that.
Again, if we're going to do mechanics and makeup, there's different
mechanics
tools.
Mechanics and makeup.
There's different tools for each thing.
There is.
And it makes a world of difference when you have the right tool versus the wrong tool. And I think that's the biggest thing is paying attention to is, you know, I think you've said, or you could build a house with, you know, a hammer and nails, but it probably will be really ugly if mm-hmm. those are the only tools you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same thing as, you know, you can live your life really limited
mm-hmm.
in your tool selection. And I think the great thing about heaven is when you ask for an upgrade and you go and you ask good questions and you sit at the feet of people that are ahead of you, you don't get their rusted old hand-me-downs. They are literally the kingdom tools, which are beautiful, shiny, and ready to be used. And there's no real hand-me-downs, it feels like, that when you get bread from someone else's life.
Upgraded.
It's fully a beautiful upgrade.
Yeah. Yep.
But.
Good.
Yep, so good.
Yep. All right.
All right, well, we dove into... We're almost done with the singles. I think we've got one more to go.
We do.
We've got boundaries left. So
heading into everyone's favorite subject.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But, you know, like we love to say, whole healthy families are going to save the world. We're cheering on you whole healthy singles to go and save the world as well.
Amen.
And we'll see you again next time on The Kylo Show.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join us next week when Danny and Brittany talk about what the Bible says about being single versus being married and how to build a thriving life. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck, Leah Alexander, Anna Hill, and Sherry Silk, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.